Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Political commentator and investigative journalist. You're with Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, all right. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're into hour number two here, this live broadcast, and very interesting chat with Freddie Ponton. And this, you know, we started off just wanting an update on this sort of uprising in France. How stable is the government look? How is Macron going to hang on? And we got into kind of the Ukraine discussions. A lot of interesting things going on in the background. I think NATO's preparing to make their move as Russia advances, as Ukraine gets weaker, as they sort of really well and truly lose this war. NATO's going to have to move. And I think it's going to be an Idlib situation. So what NATO did in Idlib in Syria just before Syrian Arab Army, Russia was about to overrun and kick Al-Qaeda out of Idlib, turn it into, repatriate it to Syria. It's a Syrian region, repatriate it to Syria. And just before that, there was a mad push by the international community saying, no, don't you dare, the threats were made, and it allowed for the resupply of the terrorists there. So they created a second Islamic State, and this was the ISIS caliphate that was defeated in Iraq and Syria, was ultimately established in Idlib. And this, of course, isn't well reported, or no one wants to talk about it, but it's absolutely the fact. And so I think that you could have this kind of Nazi rump state in Western Ukraine, as because Russia has no choice based on what's happened in the last year in terms of their national security. They're not going to take any chances that this is going to, you know, NATO is going to use Ukraine as a staging ground to antagonize and fight them and throw fighters and raids over the Russian border and terrorist attacks in Kherson and Crimea and so forth. And they're not going to suffer that for the next, you know, 20 years. Are you kidding me? Moscow's not going to do that. They're like, well, we have no choice. And Medvedev said it and everybody else said it. We have to go right up to the Polish border, period. So that's the way it's going to be. So if it, to stave that off, to keep that from happening, NATO is going to have to move. They're going to have to move fast. So they're going to need to create a buffer zone. And that's Western Ukraine. That's all the signals that I see are pointing in that direction. And the question is when? When is that trigger pulled? I think it's going to be pulled pretty soon. I think it's going to be pulled pretty soon. Sooner than later. Sooner than later. I don't think they have any choice. And what they're going to do is try to establish some kind of a no-fly zone over Western Ukraine. And I don't know, this does not look like it's going to be easy. It's not, from the Western NATO point of view, it's going to be very complicated. It's going to be very hard. But I think they'll do it. I think they'll do it. They learned in Syria, the U.S. learned that if they just go in, occupy, and squat, there's a low probability that anybody will attack them, because people just don't want to deal with the consequences of that, which is to engage in an escalated direct conflict with the U.S. In this case, it will be with NATO, pretty much. So it'll create a humanitarian story or some way to justify it. But I think this is going to happen. I think it's almost certain to happen, because there's no other play left other than basically start a nuclear war, a limited nuclear exchange between Russia and NATO, or Russia and the U.S., whatever. And that's probably not going to be something that anybody wants. So failing that, there has to be another play. And I think this is it. This would be the play. Poland is the new Germany. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Poland is the new Germany. We always coin terms, and we're going to coin that term. Poland is the new beachhead for Western Europe in the new Cold War. And the new Cold War is simmering. It's simmering. It's a little warmer than cold. The new simmering war. Simmering war. Is this not dangerous? I think it is. I think it is. But here's something interesting. A new poll suggests A new poll suggests that U.S. values are on the decline. You hear this term a lot, American values. American values, you hear the term a lot. What does it actually mean, though? See, that's the question. What does it actually mean? So according to new polling, and this was facilitated by the Wall Street Journal, this is kind of a really important conversation because it does speak to the dysfunctionality of U.S. politics right now and the media's inability to moderate that discussion. Americans no longer find patriotism, religion, children, family, community involvement important. Let me repeat that. Americans no longer find important things like patriotism, religion, children, family, community involvement, a new Wall Street Journal survey has found. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a breakdown, really, of society. You are watching the slow collapse of the latter-day Roman Empire. It's all there in the polling. So this is a survey. It's a good survey. I like this. This is a qualitative survey. It gives us something a little bit deeper and more profound than, let's say, doing a binary poll on a wedge issue like abortion or something like that. So this is interesting. The number of Americans who consider patriotism, religion, and other key American values, very important concept, American values. The people who find these things important has been in decline since the 1990s, but really fell off a cliff over the last 4 years. So this is a new survey. Wall Street Journal has put this out. It was published this week, okay? And so the percentage of, okay, here's a good example. A percentage of Americans who consider the concept of patriotism as very important to them has fallen 38%. Down from 61%. Down from six. So it's fallen to 38%. So this same question, is patriotism important, was asked by the same survey team in 2019. And the answer, it came back 61% of Americans. So a majority said patriotism, very important. And just 4 years later, I think the data was collected in 2022. So 3 years later, that goes down from 61% down to 38%. The bottom fell out. The bottom fell out. But in 1998, it was 70%. So double, more or less double of where it is today. So back in 1998, it's not that long ago, really, in terms of, you know, it's like 25 years ago. It's not that long, but it is. So twice as many people thought patriotism was important back in 1998. So what could have happened between 1998 and 2022 that would cause this sharp decline in American values, and especially something like patriotism? Well, obviously the Iraq War, obviously. Now, there was a spike in patriotism after 9/11, but that was kind of like a hit of opium. You know, it was an injection of opium. It was a stimulant. But there's systemic decline, systemic degradation in the background. Isn't that interesting? Religion. How about religion? Faith, religion is fallen as well. So 39% listing it as very important, down from 48% 4 years ago in 2019. And 62% thought it important in 1998, you see. So we have 5 years ago and then the results from 25 years ago. So 98, 2019, 2022. So, you know, in terms of a bell curve, you know, this is looking really like a steep decline. This is a disaster. How about this one? And this is the key. This probably, in my mind, would be the most important. If you're talking about plotting the future of the nation, Just 30% of Americans now consider having children very important. That's down from 43% in 2019, 59% in 1998. So back in 1998, 47% ranked community involvement very important, engaged in the community, cares about the community. And then, interesting, and that figure rose to 62% in 2019, and then tanked again to 27% at the end of 2022, beginning of 2023. That's bizarre. So you're dealing the same sample, same methodology. 47% say community involvement are important back in 98. Then it rose to 62% says community involvement back in 2019, and then collapses. Literally is driven off a cliff to 27% in early 2023. Now, is this a case of people reacting to things that are going on politically, geopolitically, in the world? I'm telling you right now, this is biblical. This is biblical. And here we go. Only, quote, money has consistently increased in importance, with 43% of Americans ranking as very important, up from 41% in 2019, and only 31% back in 1998 said money is very important. Isn't that interesting how times have changed? Attitudes have changed. This is biblical. This is biblical. Sodom and Gomorrah, punctuated by trans terrorism. What we just saw. Now, I've got a lot of questions about the trans terrorist event, but just an overall general decline in morality. Okay, this is a country, a culture, Western civilization is in crisis. There's no doubt about it. We have an epidemic of immorality, of depravity, of lying, of craven greed and ambition by our political class. These people not only lie through their teeth, but they embrace hoaxes and whole fictions and build whole government policies and foreign policies around them. Russiagate, 6-7 years of Russiagate, laying the groundwork for this proxy war that's pushing the West, this falling culture, this failing civilization, pushing it to the precipice of World War III. This is a result of a collapse in morality, a crisis of purpose, a culture of lying, and the craven greed and ambition of our political and ruling classes. And the only thing that's increased here is the importance of money. Everything else has tanked. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for some serious soul searching. We're going to end up being Manic Street Preachers here. That's where we're going to end up. That's the only thing left at this point. This is really shocking news. We'll talk more about this in future. In the meantime, let's take a break here with the network. And I want to get into this subject of trans terrorism, this so-called school shooting, church shooting, school shooting, and oh my goodness, there's a almighty political agenda on the back end of this. Unbelievable in terms of banning guns. We'll talk about this with our special guest. We'll bring Brian McClain, host of State of the Nation, aka Hesher. We'll bring him on the line to get a little bit more insight on this on the other side. I'm Patrick Henningsen, your host. This is TNT Today's News Talk. We'll be right back.
You should hear what Bruce de Torres is talking about on World Stage.
We were tasked with investigating allegations that there were Nazi war criminals here in the United States, and you were steered surreptitiously by folks who knew what you were doing and wanted you to really find the real dirt. And you found files on Nazis imported into the United States that were hidden among nuclear files so that they would never, ever, these files would not be found. And you found how Republican cliques in the State Department under Harry Truman's first term, we'll call it, secretly, and it got these war criminals approved to come into the United States. And then you were describing how the Dulles brothers facilitated this.
So it was covert ops to buy up countries that would allow them to establish cartels.
Because the Dulles brothers were Wall Street's most powerful, or among the most powerful, corporate lawyers for these giant money interests.
Yeah, their law firms, right, their law firms, Sullivan and Cromwell, handled Wall Street. And these guys were looking for a safe place to make more money.
World Stage and Bruce DeTorres on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's take advantage of the freedoms that we have while we have them to advance the kingdom's objective, to be salt and light.
Freedom is hard. Election security involves you, involves the voters.
This election for people of faith is vital that we see a change, because the war against Christians is at an all-time high.
Transparency is the key not only to having honest elections, but to maintaining public trust in those elections.
Our ability to vote is not being withheld from us. No one's trying to stop you from voting.
The one place the American people can have a say is at the ballot box. That's why the Democrats and the far left are working so hard to get rid of all election integrity.
We cannot let our elections be anything but transparent. It is at the very heart of freedom in a free society.
And if we lose America, I mean, it's all over, because the world has looked to America for hope.
Free and fair at salemnow.com.
You're with Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. Welcome back. We're into hour number two here, and let's shift over to the United States. Undoubtedly the biggest story in the last week was the trans shooter. It's hard to work out exactly what happened here, or words cannot describe how to categorize this event. It's a little bit crazy, and it's fraying on the edges politically as well. There's a lot of people coming in. It's a feeding frenzy on so many different ways politically. But trans shooter has gone in, shot a church stroke school. We have victims. We have a whole story. We've got body cam footage just released from the police. We've got the CCTV footage of the sort of Rambo tactical mission that this woman who identifies with a guy wearing a red hat that looks like a Trump hat, but it's not a Trump hat. And the whole thing is just, well, as weird goes, this one is next level. But somebody who obviously follows these types of odd events like I do, it's a strange area to have an expertise in. But he is also host State of the Nation here on TNT, today's News Talk. His name is Brian McClain. You know him also as Hesher, host of the Boiler Room as well on ACR, and a frequent guest speaker as well at the Sunday Wire with myself. Hesher, how you doing, by the way? How's it going?
Well, I've been steeped in this story, so that does paint a mood on the day, on the week, perhaps. But hey, that's what I'm here for. So, I'm happy to be here and I'm doing great.
So what, how would you summarize this if you had to give, a sort of a 1 minute opener of what this is, what's going on here? How would you do it?
That's difficult, because it would be a lot easier to speak to, like if I had assumed knowledge for you out there listening, and I felt like I knew where you were at with it. I could start at a certain place, but since I want to kind of avoid that, because this one is at least a start, This one is very strange and very different. And, you know, it comes in the wake of what happened in Uvalde. It comes in the wake of what happened in, what was that, Monterey City, California. You know, we had that thing at the dance studio. There's been a lot of, there was Buffalo. You know, there have been a series of what we've called daily shooter events happening, building up. And this one seems to be a bit of a crescendo in a way, because we've got a someone who went into a school in Tennessee, and is a Christian school, private school, and they went into the chapel, shot a couple people, and then shot their way into the school. Doors were locked. If what happened in the school system is above board, I will say that this school did everything right. You know, they had their doors locked, and this person shot their way in. Initial reports, and then they ultimately they ended up shooting 3 adults and 3 children. This was a K through 6 school, so the oldest kids there would be 12. I believe the kids that were murdered were around the age of 9. And that's just horrific. You know, it's absolutely horrific. Only a psychopath, a complete, twisted, inhuman person could point a deadly weapon at a 9-year-old and engage the trigger. It's really difficult to even imagine somebody doing that, no matter what their motivations are. But yeah, this person, they initially said that this was, it appeared to be a teenage girl. And as it turned out, came out relatively quickly, is a 28-year-old woman who identifies as a he, him on their LinkedIn page and dresses sort of androgyno, you know. And if you watch the body cam footage, which they released very quickly, you'll see a small team go in there, three officers, and they go in and they take care of this shooter. They shoot him dead. Response time was really fast. There was none of this, like, you know, 6 hours of waiting around for shields and all this other garbage we saw at Uvalde. So police response was pretty quick. 2 minutes, I think, from entering the building. And it was about a 10 minute response time, something like that. But then it gets really weird. And when this thing started breaking, Patrick, I started listing out our normal predictions, right? I said, well, the story's going to change significantly after it breaks, which it did. Mm-hmm. It went from a teenage girl to a 28-year-old transsexual person. I said the particular type of gun or gun accessory, which the Biden admin and the Biden ATF want to ban, will have been used. Sure enough, checking the box, we had 2 pistol-braced weapons there. Promotion of red flag laws was another one I brought up in my prediction list, and sure enough, they're already pushing those. Even people on the extremist right are pushing those. I can talk to a little bit about that too. I said there'd be a social media aspect, and sure enough, we start seeing interviews with someone that this person didn't even know very well, telling them over a social media DM that this would be the last time they hear from them. And I said mental health status will be overlooked as a use or used as a narrative prop. And that's happening. Both of those are happening, actually, depending on who's analyzing it. And a manifesto would be found. And it was. The only thing I haven't verified yet in my prediction list is drills. Where were the fusion drills? I haven't found those yet, but I won't be surprised if they come to light. So that's kind of where I'm at with it right now, Patrick.
Yeah, you missed one of those for the list, which is at some point in the next few days or weeks, you will hear this individual is actually on the radar of the FBI. So you'll see yes. On the radar. That's the other one that'll creep in, right, after a couple yep. weeks.
The known wolf. Yeah, it's on my list. I just didn't mention it because it hasn't happened yet.
Right. So fusion drill in the area or around the same time, that would be something to look for, and on the radar, the usual, the known wolf. So, just the first couple, there's enough to deal with there. Right. And I find it an unbelievable coincidence, and that the very weapon. Now, all this talk about AR-15s, and most people on Twitter intelligentsia believes that an AR-15 was used. That's what they believe, and that's just a reflexive belief that is automatically assumed. But that's not the case, is it? And what exactly is the significance of this particular weapon?
All right. Well, first of all, this happened quite literally during the, I believe it's the Senate Judiciary hearing that the ATF is being dressed down in currently. So this is over the ATF changing their rules about pistol braces. And this, I don't want to get too deep into that because that ends up being sort of a technical conversation. But suffice to say, for anyone that's not a, you know, quote unquote gun person, a pistol brace does nothing to the lethality of the weapon. The weapon is what it is. And, you know, it will always be a lethal weapon that should be treated as such, you know, as an appropriate tool that is never used to break laws or hurt people intentionally or out of ill intent. But anyways, it's basically a buttstock. Okay. So the, we have a rule here in the United States that says if a, this is something that confuses some people. First off, there's no such thing as an assault rifle. That's not a thing. Unless you want to start categorizing hammers, fists, and shoes and boots as assault hammers and boots and such. So try to take that trope out of the equation. And, but the ATF is saying that, they're going to reclassify a pistol brace as a NFA item, a National Firearms Act item, which means it's a controlled item, much like silencers or even automatic weapons, which are basically outlawed here. And the thing with the pistol braces is they've been perfectly legal and not something that would put you in the NFA category if you have a AR platform or an AK platform that has a barrel that is less than 16 inches. Okay. This is all about barrel length, which means very little, has some effect on velocity, terminal velocity, but it's arbitrary. The point is it's arbitrary, as is the pistol brace. It's an accessory that is arbitrary. It's actually designed to help disabled people that may only have one arm still be able to use their AR AK platforms. And they come on other things too. They come on pistols. You know, a pistol is a pretty broad category of things. So here's what I noticed. Number one, this person came in, and this person has zero firearms training, as far as I can tell. I looked at interviews with the parents. Parents said that they were aware that she had purchased a gun and thought that she had sold it. It turns out she had seven stashed in the house. 28-year-old living with the parents. Interesting. Stashing seven guns there. So this is not the kind of person that's going and getting tactical training or anything like that, right? And they came into this situation with three weapons, which I think is really strange. anyone that's done any rifle and pistol training, legitimate rifle and pistol training, knows that it's a process that you have to practice to be able to carry a rifle and a pistol and to safely transition with them. These are the kind of things that you need to drill and you need to practice. And this person came into this situation with two long guns and a pistol. So the pistol, I believe, was in a holster, and the long gun, if you will, that you see the person coming into the school with and using to shoot out the front door is not a rifle. Okay. It's something, it's a bit of a hybridized pistol. It's something that a lot of people would refer to as a PCC or, a pistol caliber carbine or something like that. You know, it shoots 9mm. It's classified as a pistol. It's from a company called Kel-Tec. It's a Kel-Tec 200 or Kel-Tec 2000. I can't remember how many zeros. And it's basically just a pistol with a bit of a longer barrel. But the thing is, it has a pistol brace on the back of it. So you can actually shoulder some pistols you can shoulder. So that's what this person was shooting people with in the videos. And I believe that there was an AR-15 on a sling hanging off of them. So you've got someone in a fake tactical vest, like an airsoft vest, not anything that had plates in it or anything, two pistols, and I think an AR-15. The AR-15 and the Kel-Tec 2000 had that pistol brace on it. So to me, that was a huge red flag to see those two of those rifles on somebody who's, you know, not really trained to be needing three weapons.
Put that in perspective now, Hesher. To somebody carrying three weapons like that, and the weapons aren't made of styrofoam, they have weight, they, you know, they're, so it's going to add weight to it. It's cumbersome as well. You've got ammo to think about. You have all these things in the movies. Okay, I get it. We've seen plenty of films where someone will, you know, holster up like that because they're about to, you know, take on the police force. Okay. So, but in the real world, and soldiers don't even dress like that. But so this person on the CCTV, what we know from the footage, they're going in there very careful, placing their feet down in this kind of tactical, you know, proceeding through the room like a police would train, or door-to-door urban combat, etc. And then they've got these three weapons, and then they're moving adroitly and so forth. It just seems to me a little bit, I don't know, it's a little bit Hollywood in the sense, what on earth would you be expecting to encounter in a church when you blow out the door? Do you think, you know, is the priest going to come out in full camo with an AR himself? I mean, why? I just don't get it. Why someone would go into a setting like that, Hesher? I'm not pretending to get into the mind of the shooter, yeah. But it just, I don't know. It doesn't really make sense. These are like unlikely scenes. Like, fine, if you believe this stuff when you watch films and you believe when you see events like this, that somehow this is plausible. But how exactly is it plausible? I just have a hard time getting my head around it. And that a 28-year-old girl, even if she's on hormones, testosterone supplements, that she could play Rambo with three weapons and then the reloading and all the rest of it. And, you know, where's the reports of, I mean, was she really trained and tactical? And she didn't look like it from her social media. It's not like she's an Iraq veteran or anything.
Yeah.
I don't know, Hesher. The whole thing seems so implausible.
It really does, you know, and then you get into the anomalies. Not only the prediction list that we have that we just went through, you know, and almost every single box checked on there. Then you get into the weird stuff. Why was David Hogg there? Why was the woman that has been seen lobbying against guns from Parkland happen to be there? Why did Melissa Joan Hart end up being there? You know, that's an actress, and she was featured extensively last night in media interviews. She was allegedly just happened to be driving through there and saw all these kids and teachers coming out of the woods who had escaped from the school, and she helped them. You know, it's just, it's really interesting because she was also, her kids were allegedly locked down during the Sandy Hook event, so she's being interviewed like, I can't believe this is the second time I've had to go through this, you know? So she was Sabrina the Teenage Witch. She's a Hollywood producer. She writes books. She does media appearances. Interestingly enough, though, she's a Christian and she's a libertarian. She was for Gary Johnson when Gary Johnson was running. So, and her account, I almost said performance, but I don't want to imply anything that might not be true. But her account of what happened was, it felt legit. I got to say, it felt legit, but she is a lot. She's been an actress since she was a kid, you know, so she could maybe summon up some of her skills for that. But it's all very strange. You know, does David Hogg have a rapid response helicopter or something? I mean, how is it that he happened to be there?
Because Andrew Tate lent him his private jet while Andrew's been in the Romanian prison. Yeah, he just said, David, don't worry, it's on me. If you need it to get to any school shootings or anything like that, just it's fueled up and ready to go down in Broward County or whatever. So the girl you're talking about, she's been lobbying on behalf of the Democratic Party for gun reform since Parkland. I believe she was involved in the Parkland event in Florida, if not one of the students back then. That was 2018, I believe. So let's play that clip and listen to this. So she basically hijacked, you saw this, Hesher, didn't you? She hijacked the Fox News like live feed, right?
I did, yeah. It was almost like they let her hijack it. Like, I don't know, this is an interesting presentation. I'll be interested to hear it again.
Yeah, listen to what she says here. I mean, it's just kind of really unbelievable, like, that this would be a coincidence that she would be there on this on site and that she would be able to deliver this this thing. Here it is.
Aren't you guys tired of covering this? Aren't you guys tired of being here and having to cover all of these mass shootings? I'm from Highland Park, family vacation with my son, visiting my sister-in-law. I have been lobbying in D.C. since we survived a mass shooting in July. I have met with over 130 lawmakers. How is this still happening? How are our children still dying, and why are we failing them? Gun violence is the number one killer of children and teens. It has overtaken cars. Assault weapons are contributing to the border crisis and fentanyl. We are arming cartels with our guns and our loose gun laws. And these shootings and these mass shootings will continue to happen until our lawmakers step up and pass gun safety legislation. I'm pretty sure this was an unsecured weapon that this teenager got a hold of. We can't even pass gun safety, like safe storage laws in this country to protect kids from getting a hold of weapons that they shoot each other with.
Wow. Okay. Couple of things, Hesher, there. So she says, I'm pretty sure this was an unsecured weapon. And she was referring to them as a teenager. So that was a lot of the media's initial take, as you said, was to quickly, the facts story changed real quickly. But that line, she says, I'm pretty sure this was an unsecured weapon. And she immediately attached that to, you know, the gun reform effort. It all sounded a little bit too contrived. So she survived a mass shooting in July. What was that? Uvalde? Would that have been? So she's, I guess, a mother from Uvalde, Texas, I think, probably, or one of the main summertime high profile mass shooting events. What did you make of all that?
Really interesting. Uvalde happened on March 21st, so I'm not sure if that's the one she's referring to. But there were a couple of incidents that led up to Uvalde. There was Buffalo and Monterey Park and a couple others. Notice how she's latched on to the original talking point, which was that the cops think it looks like a teenage girl. And she immediately referenced a current piece of legislation, which is the I'm not sure if it's inside of Biden's current assault rifle ban proposal or if it's a separate piece of legislation. But one of the things that gun owners of America and Firearm Policy Coalition and others are suing the government for right now for injunctions is this idea that everything has to be locked in a safe in your own home at all times. And they just they're just putting a couple of parents on on trial also. I don't know if they're going to go on trial, but they're looking at a recent case where I don't have it up in front of me, but there was a teenager who went on a school shooting recently. This might be the one she was referring to. And killed six students, and the parents actually bought this teenager the gun. So the courts are looking at the parents at going after the parents for manslaughter and the teenage son for murder one, which is sort of outside of precedence a little bit. You know, there is precedence for holding parents responsible for negligent things that they've done that allow their kids to commit crimes. So there is some precedent there, but there is a big push to have this safe bill sort of thing where like you have to have your guns basically locked up all the time, even in the privacy of your own home.
Yeah. So, okay. So what she's saying is just, it's so perfectly tailored to the legislative agenda, isn't it? Like almost like
she practiced it.
Yeah. The current legislative agenda in a fine detail, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, and there's, there is another guy too, from Parkland. Let me see if I can bring that up here. Manuel Oliver, also, someone who has been campaigning for full gun control, ever since Parkland. He's on ABC News basically every time there's a school shooting, and he's doing his best to downplay the mental status, the potential pharmacological aspect, and the identity politic of this shooter, and completely focused on the weapons. And that's one of the things that I think is most egregious right now, is that, I know you got a break coming up, so I'll be brief, but one of the most egregious things is that this person has allegedly a manifesto. And inside that, everybody is suspecting that what they would find is that this person is psychotically angry over some of the new legislation that has been passed in Tennessee to protect children from drag queen story time and other forms of child sexualization, which are trying to be normalized right now. So if that is indeed what is inside of said manifesto, and if said manifesto is even real, that should be released, because right now what's going on is it's brewing a battle between radicalized trans people online and also radicalized anti-trans people online. And I can expand on that if you like on the other side.
Yeah, no, definitely. So that woman we just heard, I believe her name is Ashby Beasley, and she's said she's a survivor of the Highland Park parade shooting in July of 2022. I mean, a completely dubious event, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I know you probably. Yeah, we spoke about it at the time. She's sort of there on the scene and giving her her delivery there, and it was picked up by all the major press globally, actually. So
yeah,
very good placement, good media placement for her. I can't believe you guys are having to cover. Aren't you tired of having to cover it? That quote basically went out on the news wires, basically.
Yeah.
So come on. I mean,
and here she, I'm looking at a picture of the same woman, with Nancy Pelosi. She's standing there with Nancy Pelosi in front of Nancy Pelosi's office.
She just happened to be there. Just passing through Nashville. I was visiting my sister-in-law, and whoa, look at this, a high profile mass shooting. And
they just pop up everywhere.
Let me jump in front of the cameras and give my diatribe on the finer points of the Biden gun legislation. Okay, fine. Fine. We believe it all. Let's take a quick break here. I'm with Hesher, Brian McClain, host of State of the Nation. We're looking at this recent mass shooting. We'll take a brief break here with TNT, and we'll be right back after these messages.
It's back. A new UN climate report warns of doomsday unless we give the UN more power and go full Marxist. Oh, no. Haven't we heard this before?
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Fire, brimstone, ticking climate time bombs, once again. The new UN IPCC climate report is out, warning about a, quote, survival guide to humanity. Climatologists are weighing in. Dr. Judith Curry has called the report pure politics, weakly justified, politicized. MIT climate scientist Dr. Richard Lindzen says we should, quote, do nothing about global warming, and instead says the United Nations is exploiting people's ignorance to promote fear. Well said. Remember, throughout human history, the ruling class has always tried to come up with reasons why the rest of us can't be free and why we should allow them to rule over us. climate is their latest excuse. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Children in poverty, each one unique, each one full of dreams. They're our hope, our future. They're the reason Children International exists. When the whole world changed, we developed new ways to reach children and families in poverty during these vulnerable times.
I'm learning every day.
I'm healthy and strong.
To learn more, go to children.org/help today.
With a compelling perspective on global politics, this is the Patrick Henningsen Show on TNT Radio.
All right, folks, we're trying to get our heads around this one. We got a couple minutes left here. Final segment, the final hour. I'm with Hesher, Brian McLean, host of State of the Nation on TNT Radio. And this latest mass shooting, or it's not really, well, it's a mass shooting, school shooting, but it's a church shooting, and it's involving a gender fluid trans person, basically a woman who identifies as a guy. I'm not even going to get into that, Hesher, with the likes, the press have to say, Aubrey Hale, who goes by Aiden. I mean, well, it's completely ridiculous to even have to, you know, say that caveat. The New York Times tweets afterwards, they're apologizing because they misgendered the shooter. I can't believe I'm reading this stuff. I mean, clearly, yeah, I don't know. We're not allowed to speculate because Alex Jones has been sued for $1 trillion, right? So
it's so stupid. I can't even fathom it. You know, like I was noticing that too. I watched all the initial reporting and I'm like, okay, so they're calling this person her and they're calling this person him. And these people are calling the shooter they, as though it's more than one person. And it's just completely wrecked the ability to even discuss the topic. I totally agree with you. It's ridiculous. I call it this person. I call it her. And that's that. You know what I mean? It's just so stupid. And then you see the apologist media outlets and the apologist Twitter accounts. And it's just amazing. There was this one Twitter account. They made their account private after they put this out there. But it was really, really interesting to watch them put this thing out and then make their account private. But they're doing that. They're talking about, you know, and I've seen a lot of mainstream outlets doing this too. ABC News saying, oh, well, they're speculating that this person had a rough childhood and that this school somehow didn't respect their rights as a trans person or whatever. Are you kidding me? This is a 28-year-old adult. Like, why are we talking about their parents? Why are we talking about where they went to elementary school? This is a 28-year-old that killed 9-year-olds, and we've got people telling us that we can't misgender them. Are you kidding? I will take this person's name and put it on a million pieces of paper and set them all afire. This is an evil person.
I know, they're saying that if I called them a mentally disturbed freak, then that would be insensitive. Like if I called the shooter a mentally disturbed freak, because how else do you describe this situation? I mean, so here's Merrick Garland, is a top law enforcement official in the United States, attorney general. Okay. Senator, I believe it's, yeah, Senator Kennedy from Louisiana is questioning Garland on this. Let's listen to what Merrick Garland says here. Direct question, by the way, listen to this.
On opening a hate crime investigation for the targeting of Christians?
The FBI and ATF are both on the scene working with the local police. As of now, motive hasn't been identified, and the police chief said at his last press conference that they don't yet have reached a conclusion with respect to motive. We are certainly working full time with them to try and determine what the motive is. And of course, motive is what determines whether it's a hate crime or not.
Okay. I agree with Merrick Garland on this. I can't believe I'm saying this. I don't see a motive. I just see total insanity. Like nothing, none of this makes sense. That's so I'm actually technically Hesher. I'm in agreement with Merrick Garland for once. It's probably the only time.
For once. Yeah, I know. It's so strange. And the thing that really bothered me about that is he's responding to the chief of police, his press conference. And at his press conference, he literally gets up there and I'll paraphrase. He said, we don't know what the motive was, but we have the manifesto. I haven't read it yet. Are you kidding me? That's insane. First of all, this person drove around with a manifesto in their Honda Fit, parked their Honda Fit. They've showed the tracking on this vehicle. This vehicle has apparently gone past the school like 15 times in the 3 days leading up to the event, driving around with their manifesto, literally sitting on the passenger seat or something, like, you know, it's a 9/11 passport or something. And the chief of police is going to sit there and say, I don't know why they did it. We got a manifesto. I haven't read it yet. Are you kidding me? Like, and then he goes into talking about how the guns were purchased, where they were purchased, what this person's parents knew about their firearms. Again, I don't care. This is a 28-year-old adult. I really don't care what the parents think. It almost feels like that's a part of the narrative that broke this whole, oh, it's a teenage girl, because that it's a 28-year-old. This is a grown adult that went out to kill children, if everything is that we're seeing is above board here. So, you know, the fact that the chief of police himself played into the anti-gun lobby by refusing to talk about the motives of this person when this person wrote them down and then went and killed 3 9-year-olds and 3 administrators is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, I the whole the manifesto, it, all too convenient. We saw this with previous high profile shooting events that are inexplicable generally. And I don't know about you. I watched. What are your feelings when you see that CCTV camera? And it looks to me, Hesher, it feels like someone is kind of going through a drill. That's the feeling I got, that they're going through a rehearsed set of steps, and it's like a LARP, but we're told it's not a LARP, but it looks like a LARP. And it looks like a school shooting drill, like literally a perfect by the book school, hyper realistic school shooting drill. That's the feeling I get because I've seen those drills. I've seen them. I've also seen them up close. I've been there during one of those drills, so I've seen what they look like, and that's what it felt. I don't know if you feel the same way, but that's the vibe I got.
I've seen these same things. They've done them in my town. They've done them near my workplace back when I was in California. I've talked to teachers that have been there for those things, and that it's such a sticky topic because the daily shooter phenomena slash program, you know, the phenomena is a phenomena, and the program is basically the media treatment of it. You know, it has traumatized the country. So there are, you know, maybe even a vast majority of people in the country feel like this is a good thing, that schools are preparing for this. And, if I'll put it this way, if the goal was actually to protect students, that would be one thing, but I don't think that that is the goal of these things. I think that is the goal of most of the people participating in them, you know, your local law enforcement and everything. I'm not trying to paint with a broad brush here and say everybody's bad in these situations, but what it's effectively done is it has traumatized everybody to the point, and students especially, you know, that's the worst part about this, is they're telling kids that, hey, this could happen to you at any point. This is just part of going to school. Eventually, if you're unlucky enough, some crazy person is going to come in there and just start executing everybody
reason.
When they could have for no reason whatsoever, for no reason, because they got bullied 16 years ago when they went there. like that's still the on the forefront of someone's mind. I mean, sure, it's possible.
So how's a kid supposed to make any sense of that? And they're, like you said, they're being exposed and put through this, basically it's like trauma, you know, these trauma scenarios. And so we're raising a whole generation and they'll end up being adults. And how much of this has to do with the drills themselves, the whole culture of school safety, of mock school shootings? This is something that needs to be seriously looked at. I know you probably agree because we have spoken about this before, but thank you very much, Hesher. Brian McLean, host of State of the Nation on TNT, Today's News Talk. Thank you for joining us on this.
Thanks, man. We'll be live in 2 hours. Stay tuned.
Stay on TNT, folks, and you'll hear Brian. You want to tune into State of the Nation. There's more programming as well coming up after this. In the meantime, top of the hour news headlines. I'm Patrick Henningsen, your host, signing out. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.